Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Oh man, I did not think we had time for After Things. We normally go live in 9 minutes for Night Attack.
Oh. Mine. They didn't say when we do After Things.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hey. All right. Here's my takes. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is not as good as either Harry Potter Worlds. It's nowhere near as good as Avatar. And it's not as good as probably all but the bootleg. We couldn't actually get a license for this action adventure mythology park and Islands of Adventure. I would put the cartoon world better in terms of being immersive for its land. Dr. Seuss world was more immersive for what its source material was. It's a kind of almost sickening reaction to Harry Potter world, which is weird because Disney announced Avatar as the answer to the Harry Potter world. They had more time with Star Wars. Smuggler's Run is disappointing, and I really hope Age of or Rise of the Resistance is a knockout amazing ride, because if it isn't, then that is like a C park to me.
TK421, where are you? We have blasters fired. Blasters fired. Repeat. We need reinforcements. Are you kidding me?
I mean, look, it's small. It's you know, the immersion just isn't what it could be. When I remember going to Jurassic Park when Islands of Adventure first opened, and it felt more like Jurassic Park. It brought you more into that world. I don't like Avatar, but Pandora is amazing. There's no way you can walk through Pandora and not feel like, wow, this is an achievement. I feel immersed, and that ride there is the GOAT. Right now, it is the championship belt holder of theme park rides. So I don't know. And I don't even like the Harry Potter ride in the new one, the Diagon Alley one. But Diagon Alley is as immersive as any park that you will see. And it's sad that the king of all IP, Star Wars, does not get something at least as good as Hogwarts, if not Diagon Alley. It deserves it. It deserves Pandora.
Full disclaimer to anybody hearing this and going nuts. Justin and I had like a 20-minute conversation on the phone earlier, and we compared notes on our experiences, and it sounds like Justin got a bunch of things to factor in. Justin legitimately didn't know what I was talking about when I asked him if all of his hosts stayed in character. And he's like, yeah, of course they did. They're a video. And I was like, no. I mean the human beings. He's like, what are you talking about? And I described my experience where they kept in character like it was a Renaissance fair. That was apparently totally alien to Justin, as was his description of the Smuggler's Run ride. One of the things I loved is that they took six people, they handed them all a thing, and they say, you guys take a moment to negotiate who's going to have which job. And I thought, this is brilliant. They intentionally bake in 10 to 15 minutes in the Millennium Falcon, where we all make sure that as a group, everybody's happy with their job. Justin did not get that experience. He was just shuffled in and told, you're an engineer, go. So your mileage may vary, and I don't know how much of that
I'm not even talking about staff. Like, I'm talking about just walking in and looking at the world and seeing how it makes you feel. Like the fact that it's even that small, it's apparently the same footprint in Orlando as it is in LA, despite the fact that Orlando doesn't have the same space restrictions that LA
does. That part really did surprise me, because I was looking forward. My impression of the LA one was, well, at least the Florida one will be better and then or have more room or whatever. But here was the exact same thing.
I mean, look, I'll just say this, is that everybody who's gone there, the picture that they take is in front of the Millennium Falcon. It looks awesome. You can see mine. I put it on Twitter. It also looks awesome. And that's the best ride in the park. It is the world's most expensive Instagram pop-up. Congratulations. You'll be able to get all your cool Star Wars pictures. It'll look great. Oh, by the way, remember to make a reservation for the cantina that you were supposed to do 2 weeks ago before you went to the park. Because that's a great thing if you came from across the country and you were not hip to the fact that you needed to make an appointment for walking in and buying a super expensive drink.
I when I first heard this was being announced, I was super excited. I want to go. I live in L.A. Have not been. Like, Andrew, why haven't you been? And I'm like, and I had friends that worked on it, all that, because the more I found out about it, the more my interest dropped. Because I'm like, what is it? Well, there's one ride, a motion simulator. There are two extra pay attractions where you can pay $200 to build a lightsaber and walk around and have little kids look at you with envy and feel like the biggest jerk in the world. Or you could build a droid for $100, or you could go eat some, you know, some street style tacos with special alien sauce in this environment. I'm like, this, and a bunch of gift shops. There's one attraction. It's a motion simulator. And I know about the plans and the future plans for the park and where it's going, but what it is now, I'm like, why would I go? Why would I go? I hate
very
motion
much
simulators.
Not ready. It's not. It's in beta, and they're saying that it's not in beta. It's still in beta. They got a long way to go. I can't imagine what the experience is like. And keep not only with like the LARPing hotel and all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
Justin, Jedi 71 in the chat is asking, you know, if you needed a reservation for, I guess, the cantina, was the park crowded? Because we've been hearing a lot about attendance numbers.
So yeah, we walked in, we got there right when Hollywood Studios opened, and we went right to Smuggler's Run, and our wait was listed at an hour and a half. It was actually an hour. The bigger thing with the cantina is that they only have a limited amount of space, and they don't want it to get overcrowded, so you have to wait to get in. But apparently, if the line gets past a certain level, they don't let walk-ins in anymore. And now you're just explained to by a spaceman in a space tunic that you are supposed to use your space internet to reserve a spot in the cantina where you're going to get charged $30 a drink to listen to a robot DJ.
This sounds like a nightmare to me. This to me is like, I think Disney does some things amazing, and you know, when I heard they're going to try to outdo Harry Potter, which I think Harry Potter now is fantastic. Like, when you go to the different experiences, what it's become, the different rides, I love it. And then everything about this, everybody I've known has come there, and what I've heard from behind the scenes and stuff, when they finally open, I'm like, wow, this is exactly this is.
Well, because you want to know what? Look, Diagon Alley is supposed to be a place where you buy stuff, right? It's where people buy stuff in the books. It's where people buy stuff in the movies. It's where you have a bunch of big magic-y stuff. And guess what? They do have a bunch of gift shops. Guess what they also have? Other storefronts that have other things going on. You walk by, you see them doing the little magic-y thing. And maybe you go in there and it's available for you to walk around and see what's happening. Maybe you can buy something. Maybe you can't. But not everything is a excuse to sell you an expensive tchotchke. Well,
in Diagon Alley, you can go to Ollivant's. You don't have to buy the wand. You know, a kid can go in there, the family can go in there, they can do the thing. Then afterwards, to buy the wand, it's like $40 and it does something. And that's you know, that's for most families, that's affordable, and you can do that. To go to Star Wars, and I know they figure, well, our fans are all 20-something-year-olds with jobs. There's a lot of kids, but the idea of saying, hey, these really cool experiences are not going to be really economically viable for most people, that's mean to me. That just feels mean to me. You know, I don't have kids. I can afford to do that, but then I'd feel like a jerk. I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to walk around growing up with a lightsaber looking at kids like, ha-ha, you know.
I just think it's it was disappointing, and it was disappointing from the point of view of somebody that watched Islands of Adventure open, that loved Pandora. I just thought that we were at a certain level of immersion, and I just don't think that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge measured up to it. And I think that Smuggler's Run, although a very interesting idea, I think that the fact that Brian and I had very divergent experiences based on, you know, maybe surliness of the cast members that I experienced versus the absolute pinnacle that Brian experienced, I think that to me shows a weakness of the product
and not necessarily something
that's fair enough. Like your storytelling should be so on rails that a minimum wage employee should be able to give you an extraordinary experience.
How many people were in your party when you did the
It was me and my 11-year-old daughter, and we took the single rider line, and then we just agreed to meet up afterwards.
So how many people, you were with strangers in there?
Yeah, all strangers.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. That's the big part of the dynamic is who you're in that ride with. You know, if it's like an escape room. If you go to escape room with people who don't like escape rooms or don't pay attention,
well,
you're
going to have a miserable... That's why I thought, like I described to Justin, Smuggler's Run would probably be at its best if you had six committed people who all agreed they're going to play pretend for 15 minutes that they're flying the Falcon. There's plenty to do, and you could do the whole thing.
I mean, yeah. I have very nerdy theme parky kind of critiques on that ride in that it does the same thing that every motion ride does from Back to the Future on. It is something that like, and compare it to Harry Potter. Harry Potter is loaded with celebrity cameos, both the Harry Potter rides. It's got the Harry Potter kids in it. It's got Voldemort. It's got Bellatrix Lestrange. It's got the actors doing the thing. You have a great opportunity. Even if it wasn't Harrison Ford, even if it was the kid from Solo, even if it was Lando Calrissian, where at some point the power turns back on and some old, you know, captain's log or something starts playing. There's these moments of magic that you just never get because the entire time you have to have this character you just met barking in your ear, explaining, trying to walk people through playing this like barely not on rails video game. And that's, I think, just sort of disappointing. Like, it doesn't achieve what, it certainly doesn't achieve the immersion that Flight of Passage does for Pandora. It doesn't give you the I'm in the movie experience that the Harry Potter rides are, even though they are very flawed. And it certainly doesn't give you the same kind of thrill that when Back to the Future first came out, you were like, oh my God, this is great. Like, I'm going through all these different things. Like, it just was, everything was there. The soul wasn't. And that's kind of my big takeaway.
There you have it.
All right.
Speaking truth to power, Justin Robert Young style.
I'll tell you what, by the way, you want a surefire way to get angry tweets from Jenny Josephson and Garrett Weinzierl? Start saying that kind of stuff on Twitter, because boy, will they get up your butt about it.
Noted.
Papa's Barbecue, what did I think of the E.T. ride? The E.T. ride was one of my favorites as a kid. I think that was awesome for what it was initially, down to the fact that you get to go to the E.T. world at the end, and then it's just like super psychedelic, and you try to make sure that you give them a screwed up name so E.T. pronounces it weird at the end.
But is it really still fun? Is it really?
Oh my gosh.
Cool ride, says Andrew as he pulls up his E.T. stuffed animal that we got at the E.T. ride, because E.T. ride rocks. It is amazing, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise.
No, the E2, I mean, like, that moment where the headlights are coming up on you and you lift up, like, that's an all-timer. That's a theme park Hall of Fame moment, and God, I wish that Smuggler's Run had something slightly as emotional as that moment.
Well, was this an actual After Things episode?
It
was.
Yeah, I guess so. Sorry.
How was it? Tell him how it was.
It was after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.